यस्त्विच्छया कृता पुंबीर अभासो यश्रमात् पृथक स्वभाव विहितो धर्मो कस्यनिष्ट प्रशांतये. Translation: a pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his order of life is called abhasa, a dim reflection of false similarity. Dear Prashada, please translate. But if one performs the prescribed duties for his particular ashram or vana, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all material distresses?
So this verse makes a nice point about following prescribed duties of this order of life. I have been requested by our regional council to talk and explain the different orders of life and their prescribed duties. Today I want to begin with the Brahmachari, with the Brahmachari ashram or Brahmacharya, which is considered to be the basis of one's spiritual education. Now when I begin, as I begin to talk on the different points which are relevant for this ashram, I want to encourage everyone, our Matajis and our Grihastha Mahashayis, to feel great encouragement from what I'm talking. Because it is not that Brahmachari or Brahmacharya is only followed when we are young men. No, according to the Manu Samhita and also Mahabharata, Brahmacharya, which is another word for celibacy, is followed even in Grihastha ashram. That Grihastha who only comes together with his wife in sexual intercourse during or at the time of procreation, he is also considered to be a brahmachari. And of course, those brahmacharinis, he is already the word, those ladies who are not married but who also live according to the rules of celibacy, they are considered brahmacharinis. Now, therefore, please understand what I'm presenting to you today is not only meant for the young men, but it is meant for all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. However, the Brahmachari ashram, that order of life and the rules pertaining to it, that is specifically meant for both. The principles are universal. The ashram is for young men who join the Krishna conscious movement. To open this seminar, I want to quote Srila Prabhupada, who said, "There is a fire of Maya burning the very vitality of all living entities. This fire is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Kama. Kama esha krodha esha raja guna samut bhavaha." The fire of lust, which is born from the contact with the mode of passion and which later transforms into anger, that fire of lust is the all-devouring enemy of the conditioned soul. Lord Buddha went so far to compare this fire of material desires to different small fires which have set our senses into bursting and burning flames. Our eyes are full with this fire, our tongue is full of fire, our different senses are all on fire. Conditioned soul has lost control, and in an attempt to mitigate the fire of material desire, he is running here and there and everywhere. In actuality, he is only putting benzene or fresh nourishment onto the fire, and it is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. In all this Smritis, it is explained that this whole world, everything which you find in it, is not sufficient to extinguish the fire of material desire. Because as soon as you have obtained something for your enjoyment, no matter how big it is, you will think of something new. It seems that the pleasure of the conditioned soul is in the struggle to obtain something. It is never there in the attainment itself. Just consider, I think I need to give a few examples for this. From your own material, it is very difficult to give examples for devotees, because devotees have somehow understood this principle. Now, consider you might, in your kami life, you might have desired to have a jeans, very intense desire. Or jeans in Yugoslavia, I think we could always get jeans. So, hi-fi stereo, is that a good example? You might have desired to get a hi-fi stereo, nice tape recorder and so on. And when you get it, you get used to it, and it becomes as if it doesn't exist any longer. I have a nice example from my own life. I wanted always to have a fast car which would bring me everywhere without falling apart like a sastava. Then someone gave me the car which I'm driving now. It is a Mercedes-Benz. And I remember the moment it stood before the door, I actually didn't even want to look at it. I had attained it. Or someone is crazy to get a, I mean, this is not such a good example, but I felt when thinking about it that it is, it gives some direction. Or let us say someone crazily wants to have a woman, yes, or a woman works with all her shakti to get a man, and it is really work. But after some time, the relationship becomes completely normal, and the struggle and intense hankering is only there when one wants to enjoy sense gratification, when it's very difficult, when the other partner does not want or so on. But look, it's a good example are children. The children, they have a few toys around themselves. They may sit in the sandbox with their toys. So they don't consider their toys very much. But when another child comes and wants to take one toy, all of a sudden the child begins protesting. No, no, you cannot have it. Do you know this, Sunisha? I think you are still remembering this. See, only when we struggle, then we feel some anxiety going through our veins. Only when we hope to attain something, we feel some imagination going through us. But as soon as we have the object, we feel bored with it, or it doesn't even exist in our thought process any longer. We have to fix on something new, something new, something new. This is the essential mistake or fault of material life. It is therefore sometimes considered to be a struggle for existence. Now, this principle holds true very much in the desire to enjoy sense gratification. You can never ever satisfy this desire. The desire to enjoy with the opposite sex is the grand illusion of material life, which burns away at our existence. Therefore, in one Sanghita it says, the whole world is engaged in this sex problem. No, Prabhupada said this. The whole world is engaged in this sex problem. These things should be regularly discussed. This is kirtan. If these things are not discussed in our movement, then everything will go weak. One class after another, everything is in the books. Hare Krishna. So, now of course, when we are attempting to take away the veil from the great myth of sexual enjoyment, most parts of the world will think we are crazy fanatics, or something is not right with our mind. Because, as I said, the whole world is in Maya about this thing. So, but we do not need to be extremely, shocked by this. We know that the eternal Shastras are behind us, and anyways, a Krishna conscious person stands apart from the masses since the beginning he joins. Therefore, in this, let us hear this word. What can be more abnormal than for a man or for a woman to be attached to the urine place, which is exactly like hell, from which one has taken his own birth on this earth, and from which daily emanates urine and dirty smells? What a surprise it is that the whole world is attached to it. I think these are strong words which are strong enough to wake everyone up. The whole world is just intensely desiring the urine place. Isn't this surprising? They try to wash their clothes, they try to have culture, but in effect they are all meditating about this one thought. It has been analyzed by psychologists that 80% of the thoughts of modern men are directly engaged with sex life, and 10% of the remaining 20 engaged with what is conducive to create an environment for sex life. Attractive clothes, attractive haircut, attractive smell from the mouth, and so on and so forth. Now, why is the whole world so much engaged with this particular subject matter? The scriptures inform us that actually this is natural. It is natural because this is the Adidas. Adi means, of course, original, and Ras means a kind of pleasurable mellow or taste. In the spiritual world, Sri Krishna is enjoying with the gopis and a wonderful in his wonderful leelas in a relationship or ras which is called Madhurya Ras. However, when this most intensive ras or worship or service of Krishna becomes reflected into the material world, it becomes the most disturbing thing. It is always so when there is a reflection taking place, the highest thing of the original or the substance becomes the thing which is most down or the lowest thing in the reflection. Just consider a tree which is reflected in water. The top of the tree becomes the downmost part or the lowest part of the reflection. So because we are actually all relinked related to Sri Krishna, we are desiring to have a loving relationship. However, and this is an interesting thing, as soon as we desire to have this loving relationship in the material world, it becomes very low and problematic. See, there was a time in the history of modern of our modern times when everyone was feeling how disturbing this sexual arrangement is, and therefore they tried to make it more pleasurable by throwing away all the rules of the old society. I remember in my own school there were some revolutionaries who demanded that there would be a room for free sexual activity which would be open throughout the schooling day, and everyone would be able to go in this room and play around in this room. So this was a trend in modern society, which also, of course, came to countries like Yugoslavia in a maybe not in such an overt or direct form. I don't think you were protesting in your schools trying to get such a room, because that was impossible in the Yugoslavian, old Yugoslavian society. But at least songs and pop art and photography has all followed the sexual revolution, which was a feeling which people had that they were sex was problematic because it was so restricted by society, only with one's wife and boring and so on. But see, the sexual revolution made things even more problematic. Everyone became highly envious and competitive in society. When the girlfriend left, it was a free commodity on the market. The boy said, "Oh no, she is somewhere else with someone else." Ooh, too envious. And people got a lot of psychology, psychological problems because they could not become number one in this mad race for the urine place. The consciousness became very degraded, and the laws of material nature became agitated. All kinds of sexual diseases spread, not only in the mind, but everyone became mad and ran for the psychologists and psychoanalysts. but also in the health department. See, as soon as a woman has so too much of these activities, she her body gets infected. There's a great chance of cancer, and or when she puts all these unnatural substances in her body which prevent conception, these substances make her body weak, and diseases can come very easy. And if the man loses all the time his semen in sexual activity, also he will become very weak. It is described that in this substance a lot of iron is there, lecithin, minerals, and by just losing it, the man becomes extremely weak and lusty like a dog, of course, very low-class consciousness. So, let us go back. Our desire for love, that is good, that is natural, that comes from our original relationship to Krishna. But when this becomes translated into a sex desire, this becomes our greatest enemy. There's a nice verse in this connection by one Manu Maharaj. Manu Maharaj says, "The desire for sense gratification can never be satisfied even by an unlimited supply of sense objects. Instead, it always increases, as fire always increases when more ghee is supplied. One whose mind is not disturbed by the beautiful eyes and eyebrows of a woman, whose heart does not burn by the heat of anger, who is not tied with a rope of greed, who does not feel misery when sense gratification enters within the mind, such a sober and steady person conquers over the three worlds." Also, by Chanakya Pandit, if you want to learn to conquer the three worlds with one activity, then just withdraw the mind from sexual desire. Now therefore, the Brahmacharya, for this purpose, the Vedic civilization has created one ashram, which is the Brahmachari ashram. It is an ashram in which every a person has to enter, because it's the ashram where one can learn to control one's mind and one's senses. To be in lusty emotions in the material world is also a natural fact, because we have the senses. But a strong person who understands the purpose of life is able to control the mind and the senses, whereas a person who has not even, who is an animal in the human form of life, cannot control the mind and the senses. Animals can't do that. Have you ever noticed? And animals are, there are even laboratory attempts for this. There was this laboratory experiment of a monkey who was put before a chamber, an electrical chamber, picked like this, which had a banana inside. So the monkey grabbed, but when he grabbed the banana, he had to go through an electrical field. Yes? So he got one banana, and then a new banana was put, and the electrical field was increased. And he went and also took the banana. So each time, the electrical currency became stronger and stronger. Do you think he could stop at one stage? Of course not. He killed himself. So a human being who is like this, who is killing himself for sense gratification, isn't, who cannot control his mind and his senses, he is not even a human being. He is a pashu, a two-legged animal. But we have to learn this control over the mind and senses, because it is not so easy. I think we are all young men and women. We know that this is something which is not so easy sometimes. So for that there is a brahmachari ashram. You enter into an order of life where you learn this. How you learn this I will tell a little later. And also for the women, also it is advised that in the younger days they stay under the protection of the family, where there is no idea, of course, of a partner for sex life. And in Vedic civilization, the women were taught actually to be chaste and not to make themselves into prostitutes. See, nowadays, women are greatly misused. If you want to become, even if you want to buy a simple toothpicker in our civilization, you know toothpicker? You will see that a half-naked woman is advertising best toothpicker. Have you noticed? It is crazy. What does a naked woman have to do with a toothpicker? Not much, as far as my fantasy goes. because the advertising industry, which puts the best psychologists inside, know that the underlying tendency of the modern man is that he is a lusty dog, not able to control his senses. They think if the best woman is before the toothpicker, then the man is so agitated, or so enthusiastic, that he has to buy the toothpicker, because he cannot control his mind. This is the psychology behind it. You can see how much we are a little foolish in this society. So anyways, let's go back to the ashram. According to the Yajnavalkya Smriti, the vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, mind, at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. Why is this so? Because the goal of life is to transfer our physical, mental, and verbal activities on Krishna. There is a verse, Smatavyam Satatam Vishnu, Vismatavyana Jhatushit, Sarve Viti, Nisheda Syu, Ekayo, Evakinkayo. That means to always think of Krishna, to never forget him. That is the rule of, that's the purpose of all rules and regulations. All the little rules and regulations are simply servants to this particular principle. And this is so because whatever you are doing and thinking in this lifetime, it is extremely, let us say, it determines what will happen in your new life, in your next life. If you are able to control your mind and senses and think of Krishna always, then you will go back home, back to Godhead. So I will only mention these points because I think every one of us has heard them. I want to go ahead and quickly move to the Brahmacharya, Brahmacharya Ashram. Now, there are of course 8 aspects of Brahmachari life. These are that one should not do the following 8 things. Think about women. And again, I want to encourage our madhuris, because we have almost half of the room full of you. Please translate this in your own mind into men. Think of men when you are a woman. This is what should not be done. If you want to have a peaceful life and able to think of Krishna, then this also applies to you. So please always translate it for yourself. It's only one word which you have to translate differently. It's not so difficult. Then speak about sex life. Deli with woman. Deli means to play around, like sometimes Sudarshan does. This one should not do. Then look lustfully at women. Then talk intimately with women. Then decide to engage in sexual intercourse. Then endeavor for sex life. And then engage in sex life. These 8 points disturb the mind, and they are not to be practiced. They are to be avoided. Now, just to do the, just to enter into the Brahmachari ashram, to dress in a saffron cloth and so on, is also external. This in itself is not what is true Brahmachari. The true Brahmachari life has been, the true Brahmachari is someone who keeps these 8 principles in mind. See, Lord Chaitanya, but it is not that only the Brahmacharis can satisfy Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna. This is not the case. Lord Chaitanya had 3.5 confidential associates. One was Ramananda, who was a householder, Ramananda Roy. The second was Sikhi Mahiti, who was also a householder. And then there was Madhavi, who was an old woman, elderly woman. And then Swarup Damoda, who was a sannyasi. So Lord Chaitanya himself said that I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a brahmachari, I am not a sannyasi. I am the eternal servant the servant of Krishna. So the Brahmachari ashram, let us not forget, it is an external help which is offered to us. It is likely that many of the Brahmacharis will marry at a later stage, and it is also highly likely and also natural that the women in our temples will marry at a certain stage. That is understood, but still everyone must go through this training. Please do not think that the Brahmachari ashram is just like a waiting room. Like in the train station, a waiting room to go to somewhere else. No, it is a training camp. And for those fortunate souls who do not need to enter into the Grihastha ashram, which will take a lot of energy and time, and who can directly move towards the sannyas ashram, it is all the better. But since we are, I will later talk about also the how to marry and so on. It is likely that some of us will enter the some of us who are now not who are now in the Brahmachari ashram and who are Brahmacharinis, they will marry later. This is a merger, everyone must understand the necessity for Brahmacharya. So I will now show you a little bit how the Brahmachari ashram is very favorable towards developing Krishna consciousness. One point was given already. It is good to discipline the mind and the senses. Because only with a disciplined mind and with a disciplined senses you can overthink of Krishna. You all know from your practical life when you when the mind becomes lusty, then it's very difficult to think of Krishna, isn't it? But it's just sucked out by this. The Brahmachari also, it's only possible to be submissive when your mind and your senses are controlled. And submission, especially to elders like the guru and sannyasis, this is very much recommended in the Vedic culture. Also, only when you are disciplined, you are able to do slujba service. You can see those devotees who are on the mentality niveau, it's very difficult for them to do service. Or if they do, they only do one service. I drive a car for Krishna. That's all I do, bus. Or I sing in a concert for Krishna. More I do not do. That's all, bus. This means the life is not disciplined enough. One has not yet conquered the mind and the senses and can only work in a very limited way. The second thing is, which you learn, is determination. Prabhupada has said this determination is one of the most important factors for our Krishna conscious life. Maya is so strong, Prabhupada has written in CC, that unless one is fully determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give one protection. Maybe you think, no, this is impossible. This is not true. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a practical example of this. There was one, I think his name was Krishna Das. Yeah. He was traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his personal assistant. The gypsies of India, the Bhattaharis, they actually were able to bring him away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by sending some women who tricked him. So that is there, this example. If you are not fully determined, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give you protection. Prabhupada once gave a very nice example of a man who had fallen into a well. He was screaming, "Help! Help!" So another man came and lowered a rope into the well. And then he said, "Now climb the rope." So the man in the well screamed, "Help me to grasp the rope." You know, this is when you come to Krishna consciousness, there is help, but you must take it. For instance, this Brahmachari ashram is a great help. It is not meant for your torture, it is meant for your help. Brahmachari, Brahmacharini ashram. Now, you can give up lusty desires. It is a little difficult, but you can do it only if you are fully determined. Prabhupada said, he said in this modern day, we always mix with women. Is this our, here for instance in Sumatovachka, we are sitting almost on our laps, the women are sitting on the laps of the men, or the men are sitting on the laps of the women. So intimate, so much is a contact there. And beautiful boys and beautiful girls are in our Sumatovachka ashram. So it is natural that sometimes these thoughts come, and we, as a result, we might become disturbed, and not. And our Sankirtan devotees, they run out of Sankirtan to distribute to the non-devotees, and often they receive invitations. Come to my house this evening. You are the suitable man. So one can control his mind if one is fully determined and makes a plan not to do so. It's just like with Ekadasi. On Ekadasi, the evening before Ekadasi, we make a vow. My dear Lord, please help me to keep the Ekadasi Vrata. Do not know, some of you fast also during the whole Ekadasi? Yes? No? Marcus? Fast? No?
Yes.
Yeah, all
but not all day.
All
just day. To the noon.
To the noon, when we fast on Ekadasi, sometimes we get very hungry. But we have made the vow, the plan. No, I will not eat grains, at least. And this plan protects us. You can see, even if there is Jagannath tongue, this nice prasad which we have yesterday, on Ekadasi the devotees, because they have made the plan with determination, I will keep Ekadasi. They say, no, thank you. Isn't it surprising? They are protected because they have made a plan with determination. Even we are so fanatic, we don't even want to eat Simplies, because in the powdered sugar, there is some flour inside. Because we have heard Ekadasi, no grains. If you want to go home, back to Godhead, then don't eat grains. And therefore we say, yes, isn't it no problem to eat grain and no grains on Ekadasi? To fast the whole Ekadasi may be sometimes problematic, but the other not. So this determination is very important, because only by this determination you learn to control the mind, you learn to be truthful, and you learn even to be clean. A person who is not determined cannot be clean in body and in mind. So I want to end this class, because tomorrow it will go on. There will be maybe three lectures on this. Actually, I want to end the class here. No, let us just one step go. Now, how to become sense controlled and mind controlled? This comes when you create an atmosphere where the brahmachari spirit can grow up. Just when you culture a plant, you have to create a certain atmosphere, the right, or if you want to be healthy, this is a good thing. We have our mother, who is here and trying to find her health, which is lost in some jungle, lost in an accident. When you want to become healthy, you need a real healthy atmosphere. Nice food, nice thoughts. Very important to have a nice, peaceful mind, peaceful environment, and so on, then you can be quickly very healthy. But if this environment is not there, oh, it's very difficult. Also for us to become Krishna conscious, each one of us needs to have a nice service environment. Therefore we plan to get a new temple, which is where there's much more space, and where there is one quiet room where devotees can read in the literature. Here in our Sumatravachka, there is no quiet room. And even if you go on the bench before the house, then all of a sudden, wah, 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 the school children come. It is also difficult. So there is such a plan like this. You will hear Madana Raja Prabhu and the others will tell us all in due course of time. Now, if you want to have a nice brahmachari life, an undisturbed mind, with an undisturbed mind, you must also create a certain atmosphere. One thing is the general behavior of a brahmachari is, he is very submissive. He is not an arrogant fool. You can see someone who is always arguing and always heavy. He is not a real brahmachari. He will... it is a sign that his mind is uncontrolled. Brahmachari ashram, one should try to avoid what does not please the guru. Of course, also in the Grihastha ashram. A brahmachari should be conscious that he represents his guru. He is shushitala, well behaved. Therefore, sometimes we see our brahmacharis, there's a very unfortunate thing. They do not behave very nicely towards the women because they are little attached to the women and they just deal in a very rough way with the women. This is a very immature way for a brahmachari to act towards the opposite sex. Also, sometimes our ladies are very angry at the brahmacharis. This is a sign that there is attachment and that the mind and senses are not controlled. And anger is a younger brother of lust. So then a brahmachari should always be straightforward. Never say a lash. Brahmachari should be self-satisfied and jolly, happy, confident. He should serve others, and he should dedicate his life for spiritual advancement. And he should never be proud. He knows that pride is nothing than the subtle body of lust. Lust. You know subtle body? Subtilnatela. Yes? Subtilnatela. Sometimes we have problem if another subtilnatela gets on our case and we go to Shideshwara. The desire for name and recognition and profit, this desire is nothing else than the subtle body of sex life. So therefore you can understand, isn't it? All of us are sometimes, we want to be honored, we want that others say good things about us. If in the concert they say, oh Satchinandan Swami, you croaked like a frog, then I'm thinking, I'm the most beautiful singer. May not sing so nicely as Bhairavesha, but my voice is more interesting. It is more charismatic. I may not sing so good as Enrico Caruso, but who cares for Enrico Caruso? He was a materialist. So Or we might recognize, oh, I want to be number one on Sankirtan. Or everyone should tell me what a good cook I am, and so on and so forth. This is a, and we become very agitated if the praise does not come. No applause when I go into the temple, if the others don't applaud me. What is the matter? Where have I come? I have not come to this Krishna conscious movement to become humble. This is not spiritual life. You follow? This is wrong. So, yes. So tomorrow. And the last point, actually, I know it's a little much what I say, but anyways, this is like a seminar where we can learn certain points. The last point is our brahmacharis and brahmacharinis should learn that this is the ashram for training. We want the brahmacharis to learn everything. I think our Sasha will give up school soon, isn't it? So, but this doesn't mean that you should stop being trained. No, our brahmacharis and brahmacharinis should learn to give a class, receive guests, preach. They should learn to quote the scriptures. They should also learn to cook, even if it's just a simply wonderful and salad. They should learn to perform deity worship or hear an arati like Guru Pooj. This should all be learned. They should learn how to lead kirtan, sing bhajan, play medanga. Some of our brahmacharis, it's nice if they learn to type, because it's very good in this modern civilization, or to learn to repair a car. They should be, a brahmachari should learn to be self-sufficient everywhere, should learn to read the map, learn how to fast. If sometimes there's no food, we have to be satisfied like this. It's learning to become successful in life. We should also learn Vaishnava etiquette, how to behave, how to be perfect, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, not to use the left hand, but to use the right hand. We should learn how to keep health and hygiene. We should learn so many things. And if you have an ability, yes, like one of you might be very a scholar or so, don't be shy to develop this ability. We want to have educated devotees. Or if you are very good in cooking, don't be shy, go fully into it. Learn cooking like many recipes from our cookbooks. If you are a musician, and you learn nicely how to do music for Krishna. Learn to excel in your service, but don't become an arrogant specialist who will not do anything else than that particular thing. This we have to watch for. So, yes, this is a brahmachari ashram. Now I want to stop here. More is coming tomorrow. I will prepare some more. Tomorrow we will talk about what helps us to become perfect brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. This will be what we learn tomorrow morning. So please all come, have your mind fully there. And well, I do not know where our tour is. I think we have a few places to go, but whenever we come here, our Nityananda preaching grupa Mm.